So, again, I want to reiterate, great to have Alex Cora back on the program. My thanks to him and the Red Sox. That was the end of hour number one. We start hour number two. We already talked about Denver advancing to the NBA Finals for the first time in 46 years. Hey, Nugget fans, why are you not on the phones? 1-800-636-8686. Lakers go home. No shame in that. I will get to that in a minute, except I'm not getting hooked by LeBron ending that season and starting that press conference by suggesting that, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. What do you mean you don't know what's going to happen? All you've been talking about is playing a couple of more years and staying in the game so you can play with your son. And now you don't know what's going to happen. That's new. That's different. I'll get to that momentarily. Also, coming up next hour, we'll talk some football. Bradley Chubb, linebacker for the Dolphins, joins me at the top of hour number three. I want to talk smack off. We are smack dab in it. In fact, we are now a little more than a month out. June 30th. It's time to get going. It's time to get going. This week, there's going to be smack off odds from Stucknut. I'm looking for your smack off preview vids. Tommy, did we hammer out that glitch? All right. I will tell you how to get your smack off video predictions on television. We will get to that momentarily. You can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so I talked about the Nuggets. Let's talk about the Lakers now, because I was not going to lead with them. It's backwards. Got to give LeGeriatric James credit. Got to give him run. I didn't think that he had enough gas left in the tank to pull off a performance like he had last night, which was, without question, one of the all-time old man performances in the history of the association in the postseason. Yes, ultimately he gassed out, but man, he left it all out there and he came out with a vengeance. 40 points, 10 boards, 9 dimes, only one turnover in an elimination game at age 38. I mean, that's no joke. Even if you went off the side of the backboard late, that's no joke. It actually, not only is it no joke, it's pretty spectacular. And he played nearly every single second of that game, which is also pretty amazing. Like, LeCap left everything he had on the floor. Can't take that from him. In other words, I won't try to do to LaDrama King what LaDrama King just tried to do to the Nuggets. Because that's all this alleged, supposed retirement nonsense is. It's a distraction, a misdirection, an attempt to get you to look away from the fiery crash landing that just ended a truly strange year in Lakerland. And of course, it's working. Everybody took the bait. Everybody took the cheese, I think, except me. Of course, even though Denver looks incredible, even though they went right through the Lakers, they swept the Lakers. Let's not forget about that.
Oh, my God. They swept the Lakers.
Oh, my God. They did. And even though it's their first trip to an NBA Finals, even though they look like they are poised to lift the Larry O, despite all that, the headlines are still being dominated by LeBron and the Lakers. And not because of anything they did on the floor last night or in the series either, obviously. They got swept. Why would they be dominating the headlines when they got swept? And not swept in a way like Boston might get swept, where Boston's just pathetic. Boston's just embarrassing. Boston's all out of sorts. The Lakers did compete. But that's not why they're getting all that run. That's not why all the bags and hot takers and Mount Rushmore climbers are all about it. It's because of that so-called cryptic, attention-grabbing, look-at-me answer that LeGeriatric gave after the game. He was asked to evaluate the season, and he wound up kind of, sort of, acting like he's thinking about retirement, maybe an option.
I don't have to say it's a successful year because I don't play for anything besides winning championships at this point in my career. And I don't get a kick out of making a conference appearance. I've done it a lot, and it's not fun to me to not be able to be a part of, getting to the finals. But we'll see what happens going forward. And I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. And just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, got a lot to think about.
Every time he chases something with, to be honest, I know he's capping. Or he wouldn't be trying so hard to convince us that he's being honest. No disrespect. Somebody's going to get disrespected. To be honest, somebody's going to get lied to. Hey, dude, take all the time you want. Just don't drag us along with it. Let us know what you decide. And by the way, I'm not buying that for a second. I'm not saying that the response didn't work exactly as intended, because it did. Because everybody is talking about LeBron right now instead of the Nuggets. Everybody's talking about LeBron right now instead of the fact that the Lakers got swept by the Nuggets. So I understand why he did it. I'm not saying he's always honest. He's not. But he's not dumb. It worked. I'm just saying, miss me with this. Peddle that crap someplace else. You can't tell me that's the last time we're going to see that guy play an NBA game. Come on. He's been so clear that he wants to play in the association with his kid. This has been his plan for years. And he's been saying it all along. And he said it as recently as earlier this year. There's no way LaFib is walking off on LeSweep. No chance. But of course, people are falling all over themselves and falling for this crap. And the theories are already running wild on social. The most popular being that, hey, you know what? He'll actually take a year off. Recharge his battery. Get his body right. Spend some time with Bronny. Watch him ball out at USC. And then ultimately join whatever team drafts Bronny after that. Which almost sort of kind of makes sense. Sort of kind of. And so you think about it, and then it doesn't really kind of sort of make sense at all. If the guy really is about the ring, why waste a year? You know, you're not going to get better at that age. You're just going to get older. So I would say rest, recover, that's good, unless you're 38. Why not try and make, I mean, as close as they made it this year, and they were so close, why not run it back? Why not try to make another run with AD and this Laker team when you came that close, when you're playing at that high level? What does make sense to me is LaFib is going with some of this nonsense. And it's a way to deflect attention from them getting their asses swept right out of the Western Conference Final. I don't buy it. I do not buy that he's thinking about retirement. I do not buy that he's played his last game. That was never the plan. He hasn't been talking about that. He and his team have not been talking about that. All he ever talks about is playing with his son and playing a couple of more years. So no, I don't believe this dude. I don't believe that he's about to walk away for good. Yes, he's old. I'll acknowledge that. The geriatric is old. Yes, he's got miles. Yes, he's banged up. Yes, he may need surgery on his foot. And maybe he really thinks that he played his last game. Sure, he doesn't. Earlier this year, he made it very clear on the record he wanted to play multiple more years. And he wanted to play with his kid. So exactly what changed? What changed from earlier this year to last night? He just got his ass kicked in the finals and was leaving it all out there after a long, insane, trying season. Nothing. What I'm saying is this. He may have even believed it in the moment. Maybe. Although I still think it was more tactical and strategic than heartfelt. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe. Maybe he was hurting. Maybe he felt it. But nothing any superstar says in the moments after something like that ever matters to me. If you think I'm going to be waiting breathlessly for any kind of update, from this dude with bated breath about what he's going to do or not do and get into it every single day on this show, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong show. Go punch the clock on the assembly line of the hot take factory if you want. Go scale the Mount Rushmore of if that's what you want. Honestly, I don't care. I don't give a damn what this guy does. Play more? Great. Retire? Great. Leverage the Lakers to get Kyrie? Great. String the Lakers all along? Great. String them along all you want, but I'm not falling for it. I'm not here for that. Do whatever the hell you want, my man. You've earned it. I will give you my take once you do decide, but I'm not taking the cheese. I'm not taking the bait. And no, I don't think this dude's done. Sadly, probably not done beating the dead horse that is Space Jam into the ground. But I think he's not done playing ball. And I know he's not done getting people to talk about him and look at him. Which to me is kind of amazing in and of itself, right? He's been at the center of attention since he was 16 years old. And yet there he was in his post-game presser last night, desperately looking for more attention.
A lot.
And I'm going to say it one more time. I do not see this dude walking off after getting swept in humiliating fashion by the new best player in the world. That's not how this dude's going out. Not that you always get to go out the way you want to go out, or not that you always get to go out on your own terms. But no one's pushing this guy out. No way that dude, the alleged is going out like that. I mean, AD, maybe. But not LeGoat. Not while he's still pretty damn good. Not while he still has it in him to go 40, 10, and 9 while banged up and gassed out in an elimination game in the conference finals. I don't see it. We may be near the end, but we're not at the end. Not of LeGeriatric's playing days, nor at the end of his insatiable thirst for attention. Father Time is finally giving him the hands. He's been very good about slipping punches. Father Time is finally landing. Because Father Time always wins. But we're not there yet. The hot takers might be taking the cheese, but not me. I'm focused on who is still in the tourney and not who just got swept out of it. However, that said, Father Time did get one. Father Time did claim one NBA great. Carmelo. The writing was on the wall for Melo for a long time, and we all saw this coming from a mile away. Everybody except for LeBron, who apparently saw it from 100 miles away, or at least a week away, a week before the rest of us saw it.
You are very close with and your contemporary announcing his retirement, and then you getting ready to play in a Western Conference Finals game as sort of the last man standing, if you will, from that class. What was that like for you?
Well, I kind of knew the announcement was going to happen because I shot the video a week ago that you guys seen today. So people probably think I'm lying about that too, huh? I shot that video like a week ago, so I already knew the announcement was coming. Just didn't know which day, but it happened today.
It's like he walked right into it. Like he made the perfect statement. Y'all probably thought I was lying about that too.
People probably think I'm lying about that too, huh?
Well, now that you bring it up, I don't not think you're lying. The only thing liars do better than lying is make sure to emphasize when they are telling the truth. Good on you, LeBron. From here on out, after every single statement, you should say, I'm not lying. Or, you probably think I'm lying about that, too.
People probably think I'm lying about that, too, huh?
I'd say you try to throw him off the scent.
To be honest.
And throw in a few, to be honest.
To be honest. A lot.
As for Melo, incredible scorer. One of the all-time great scorers. A walking bucket. The epitome of a walking bucket. And when you think about his legacy, you can't help but think about what he did as a freshman at Syracuse. But in the NBA, could just never get over the hump. A walking bucket, an incredible scorer. I like the way Melo. I didn't always like Melo as a team guy, but I like the way he handled himself at the end of his career. I did. Definitely a team guy at the end of his career. Accepted a role where other great players were unable to do so. No names mentioned. AI. He just could not get over the hump. But a walking bucket. Yeah, I knew. I knew because I shot the video a week ago. But you probably think I'm lying about that too. See, Bron, the thing about liars, if you ever get caught in a lie, everybody assumes that they can't trust anything out of your mouth after that. That's why liars are not credible. So yeah, you get ready to qualify that all along going forward. You probably believe I'm lying about that too. Well, yes. That's the thing about lying. Once you get caught in a lie, people always assume that you're lying. Manny from Oxnard's in. So Manny wants to take me to task. He's got a picture of a car with Laker car flags. First of all, before I read what you wrote, Manny, how do I know when that picture was taken? All right? Is there a timestamp? I don't know. I don't know when that picture was taken. It's not even outside. It could be anywhere. Dear Romy, there is a very valid reason why Nugget fan isn't calling into the jungle. Denver is in the Midwest. And there are zero fans west of Colorado. What? Bro, what? Denver is on the East Coast. Denver is in the Northeast. Denver is what? In Scandinavia, Rome. Hello? Denver is in Asia, Rome. Hello? Hey, Rome. Why don't you get out a map? Denver is in Africa. Denver is in the Midwest, and there are zero fans west of Colorado. The finals will be the lowest rated viewership of said basketball games. I, for one, won't be watching. At Jim Rome. Hashtag JTP. Adios. That's Car Flag Nation, man. Just talking out their ass. Not making any sense at all. This is the epitome of Car Flag Nation. Hey, Manny. Manny, let me give you an analogy, something you can relate to. That tweet you just fired off, it ricocheted off the side of the backboard.
Side of the backboard!
He sent a picture of his actual car flags that are still in place. Yeah, but from when, Manny? How do I know? And since when are you a TV ratings box? Either way, I'm not going to say it's going to be the most highly rated series, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be a damn good basketball series. Really intriguing for basketball heads. DJ, let's see here. Actually, Nate in Boston's in. Hey, Jim, Alex Cora just brought it. Holy crap. A lot of clones are probably still clowning the dude over the scandal that cost him his job, but the reality is you just heard why he got it back. Dude is the man. Nate in Boston. And Nate nailed it. I mean, that's what it is. He knows. Alex knows he'll always hear that. And he also, did you notice the way he handled that? He owned it. He got in front of it. He addressed it. He knows that. And he did get a job back because he's smart as hell, and he's a damn good manager who made a mistake. And knows, and admitted it, and owned it. Always good to hear from Boston, especially right now. It's not easy to be in Boston, half fam. Hey, let me ask you something, half fam. Do you feel like your team's got anywhere near the heart to at least extend this thing one more game and not get swept out? The Lakers at least went down throwing, swinging. You went down in embarrassing fashion. Even Malcolm Brogdon was saying, you know what? We never found our identity. That's a guy I respect. That's a hard-nosed, tough player. And him saying, we just don't have an identity. How could a team that nearly went all the way last year, that returns all this talent, not have an identity? How can that be? Full disclosure, I bet the half fam tonight. I bet the half fam. So, I mean, either way, I got +2. Either way, and the big head is skeptical. I hit him this morning. It doesn't change my take. Like, the bet's just kind of interesting because I think a lot of you like to, and I like to incorporate it into the conversation. It doesn't dominate the conversation. It does not in any way affect my take at all. It's just something to do. It's fun. I like doing it. It's interesting to me. I like the math. I'm not good at math, but I like the math. But I want to know, half fam, half chowds, do we have the heart, or do they have the heart to extend this thing? I mean, at least go down and show what you're capable of. I know you're not coming back because nobody ever has. Man, don't get swept out by an 8. They lost a play-in game. They were down with 3 minutes to go in another play-in game. And they're a game away from going to the NBA Finals, the Heat. And why is that? Not because they're more talented. One more thing that Brogdon said is, we still believe that we're the better team. My guy, you're not the better team. You're just not. You're the more talented team, but you're absolutely not the better team.
Not even close.
The Celtics are not the better team. That's just wrong. That's another terrible take. Much like saying LeBron is not a top five player all time. Wrong. Terrible take. The Celtics are the better team than the Miami Heat. Terrible take. They're not. In no way are they the better team. They're the more talented team. Huge difference. DJ John B. 1 tweets, you and I both know LeBron James is too self-absorbed to retire like this. I know he will do everything he can to have a farewell season. He's not going to miss going to Cleveland and Miami and all those other cities to get all those accolades and thanks for all those years in the NBA. You mean like Kareem? Stop in every single town. He wants his rocking chair. He wants to get love and respect and gifts from every single market. Video tributes in every single market. Yeah, that sounds about right. Jerseys from every town. Standing O's from every fan base. The gigantic rocking chair. That sounds about right. Come on. There's no way he's walking off on that. No chance. All right, when we come back, 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk smack off. I want to talk about the Joker and wide receivers. What's going on with wide receivers right now? All that's still ahead. What's going on with Old Trapper beef jerky right now, other than it tasting amazing? Why is that? So many reasons. Comes in 4 amazing flavors. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. You know this. Top quality spices made with real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in 4 mouth-watering flavors. Old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky and delicious. Teriyaki with the yellow label where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11. Hot and spicy with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice. Peppered, tender seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper, a cold beer's best friend. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening
All right, so a few things. We already had Alex Cora on. I'm gonna have Bradley Chubb on at the top of the hour. Got a Reinvention Project episode coming up this week. My side hustle to my side hustle. And I got a wild letter from a guy in Las Vegas who is a middle-aged guy who is a Reinvention Project listener who reinvented himself. He's in Vegas, and he was talking about how they share the episodes, and they talk about the episodes. So I've got another one coming up this week. Make sure you look for it. The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. When I was in Wisconsin, I was talking about it, and there were a lot of kids that came up to me, and they knew about that podcast. Made me feel good. College kids, high school kids, people my age, people older than me, people younger than me. The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. Look for that. Let's go to the phones. It's a short segment, so let me get a phone call in here quickly. Let's go to New York. John in New York. What's going on, brother?
Jim, what's going on? How's everything, man?
Good, dude. How about you?
Everything's fine. Denver, Miami, I'll take that, Jim. You know, Denver, old school, coming from the ABA. I mean, all these knuckleheads calling in saying they're not going to watch the game or whatever. Me and you, we come from the old school where we used to watch Kevin Lockery and Denver Nuggets and the Kentucky Colonels and things like that coming over from the ABA. And now, all of a sudden, Denver's up there for a championship. I'll watch Joker. I'll watch Gabe Vincent. These are guys that were out on the court busting their asses trying to get to where they are today. And I'm sick and tired of the commercial mainstream LeBron, Davis. I'm sick of the mainstream. It reminds me of like Brad and Left. And I'm sick of all of these front running morons and the people that are always like at their feet. And everything they do is so great and everything like that. That's nonsense. I wish they would just all go away, Jim. And LeBron, I'm not going to get on him or anything like that. But it seemed like he was building his retirement home as it was, as many bricks as he was putting up. And Joel Embiid, another guy, 15 points in the game 7, Jim. Oh, I am so sorry. I can't do it alone. You didn't do it at all. You didn't get the job done, Joel. Jim, thanks for your time, and I'll talk to you again soon.
You know why you will, brother? Because you just got your golden ticket back. I ripped it from him, and I gave it back to him. Hey, believe me, there's a lot of time for him to lose it again. John, you're back in. Man, my man is a yo-yo. A golden ticket yo-yo. It's a roller coaster ride with this dude. Every single time he calls, he could get it or get it snatched. You never know. He was on fire today. I love it. John in New York. There's no doubt it's his best year in the jungle ever. He's on one. He's having a career year. All right, John, so you're back in the field. There's a golden ticket. Remember, you have to still be holding on to it to get in. And you've already had it snatched before. You know what I like about him, too? He didn't get butthurt about it. He just came right back. That's how you respond to the adversity and the embarrassment and the humiliation. John knows. John knows the entire jungle, with the exception of maybe me and a few others, are rooting against him. Cheering when I snatched that thing out of his hand. And what did he do? Came right back in, got it back. He's in. You know, now that I think about it, the Nuggets, if you want to talk about action on the Big Head Bets podcast, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets, we hit the Nuggets on the future bet on that pod. I don't remember what the number is. Hey, Big Head, I forgot about that. Go find our number. What did we get for that? We hit that. I have to go look that up. We did hit them. So that's good to know. That's a good thing to recall. And just like that, I said, call the show. Something good might happen. It did for John. John got the golden ticket. Again, if you're new to it, maybe you're finding us on CBS Sports Network. The Smack Off is the most important show of the year. It's an annual event. This is going to be the 29th consecutive year we've done it. The best of the best compete on that day. It's invite only. Think of it as the NCAA tournament for callers. The best callers call on one day, and they go at it. They go at each other. They go at it. And the first place prize is $5,000. Second place gets nothing. Third place gets even less. $5,000 is a lot of money. I'm not going to say it's not. It's a lot of money. A lot of money. But in a lot of ways, it's even more than the money. The money matters a lot, but it's immortality. 29 events, but there have not been 29 winners. We've had multiple winners. So it's kind of, not only is it jungle folklore, it's radio history. Sports talk, radio history. Guys that have won have gone on to have really successful radio careers. I am the idol maker. You might be the next. All right, let's take a short time out. It'll be short. We'll get you a sports update. We'll come right back. In fact, why don't we talk about the Smack Off when we come back? Let's get into that.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back that you have earned. That's right. Everything you have earned doubled. Cash back from trips, restaurants, all doubled. Seriously. See terms. Check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. All right. Speaking of smack off season, it is a big week in the jungle. It's a big week in smack off season because this week is the start of the smack off player profiles, which really is my reintroduction of the players in the event, at least the ones who have history in the event. And we will focus on a specific caller almost every single day between now and the event itself, which is June 30th, up until the big day. Now, if you've not marked it down yet, make sure you do, because you want to set aside time. You want to watch it or you want to listen to it. You want to have a smack off party. There's a right way to do this. Get that day off. Smack off 29 is June 30th. So make your plans right now. We're about 5 weeks out. You've got plenty of time to put in to get that day off. The 5 weeks are going to absolutely fly by. I know. I've been here. I've done this. I also recognize that even though I've put on 28 of these events, it doesn't mean there aren't people listening right now who still have essentially no idea what I'm talking about. Just because the Smack Off is a legacy event with nearly three decades of uninterrupted history does not mean that there aren't new jungle listeners who have no idea what I'm talking about. And that's good. That's always a good thing. It's a great thing, actually. New listeners are always welcome. And believe me, I understand how much the jungle is to take in when you first start listening. It's hard to follow. That's always been the rap. It's too inside. It's too inside. No, it's not. You just got to give it. It's like any show. Until you watch a show, you don't know what that show's about. Until you listen to or watch this show, you won't know what's going on. It's not hard to figure out. If you were to drop it and say, right in the middle of Succession, you'd have no idea what the hell is going on. I get that. I understand that. So just stay with it. So before we start getting hot and heavy with all the profiles, this segment is for the people who have not been listening to every minute of every hour of this show for like the last two decades. Although I do appreciate all of you that have been listening to every minute of every show for the last two decades. Let me back up for you. The event, the Smack Off, debuted back in 1995. 1995, that's how long I've done this. The simple idea being, get the very best callers on the program on the same day. Because my thought always was, man, the show is so good. The show is so good, except for the callers. If I could just pick who I wanted to call the show, it would be the greatest radio show ever. Because there are good callers, just not that many of them. I realized I couldn't do that. I couldn't pick who I wanted to call, but I could one day out of the year. So that's what we did. We came up with the one day. The other 300 plus shows out of the year, I've got to carry the torch. I have to do all the heavy lifting. And that's fine. That's what I signed up for. It's fun. It's great. More of me and less of you is a winning philosophy 99.9% of the time around here. However, that 1% or 0.5% or less than 0.5% that it works, the callers get to run the show. They get to call the shots. They get to steer the show. And I just lay back. I lay out. I let you do your thing. That's the day where more of you and less of me is good for the program. One day out of the year, 29 times in the history of the show, the day that I turned the program over to the top 1% of the callers. And then at the end of the Smack Off, we name a winner. For the inaugural event, naming the winner changed that winner's life. That's not even my take. That is the take of the winner himself. You know JT the Brick. JT the Brick has had a fabulous radio career as a talk show host. He used to be a caller to this show. He was the first ever winner of the Smack Off, and he parlayed that into an exceptional radio career. He knows that. He says so.
Vince, Smack. What an honor to be a part of the first annual Great American Smack Off. The greatest city, the deepest tradition, and the best smack comes from New York and the bricks. When the earthquake hit, I didn't pick up the fish wrap to read about the damage. I looked to the box scores to see if the Knicks pulled out another gutty win. I have a passion to see Cal Ripken rupture a kidney this season than to see him break my beloved Lou Gehrig's record. Today is a celebration of smack. I compare my experience to when I pledged my fraternity back in college. For the first few months, I was a punk who had to wait on hold and pick and choose my spots to smack. Now I feel like the pledge master who gets to spank the new plebes on the butt while they say, thank you, JT the Brick. Can I please have another?
This is why I call myself the Idol Maker. One call to the program could change everything for you. Again, there's not just $5,000 in winning the Smack Off. There may be a career, a multi-decade career in it for you as well. Ask JT. He's not the only champ who pulled off a transition from caller to host, to really good host, successful host. Those of you familiar with the program, of course, know that I'm talking about Shawnee, the Cabonasian, the legend who put together the first ever Smack Off dynasty in the mid-2000s. He ripped 4 straps in 5 years. He has 5 total. Sean also wound up turning his Smack Off success into a very successful media career.
In this topsy-turvy world where the president can treat an intern like a blow-up doll while he's got Boris Yeltsin on speakerphone and still keep his job, where a team will guarantee Tony Martin a 6-figure salary even if he goes to prison, there are 2 constants that I know, Jim. One, the only way that Shaq gets his name on both sides of the forum is with a can of spray paint and a ladder. And 2, I know that from 11 to 3 Central Time every day, I'm going to be entertained. The influence of your show, frankly, Jim, has been felt not only in your time slot, quite honestly, it's spilled over into the others. I mean, before your show came on down here, Jim, the typical call to the local afternoon show went something like, yeah, Kenny, first-time caller. I was wondering if Mike Hampton is a lefty or a righty, and I'll hang up and listen. Now, Jim, thanks to the jungle, the typical call to the local afternoon show goes something like, yeah, Kenny, first-time caller. I was wondering if Mike Hampton is a lefty or righty, and I'll hang up and listen. I'm out. Yeah, major improvement, Jim. The Knicks really get it down here.
The Cabonasian. So good. That's one of the all-time GOATs right there. Such a GOAT that even Texans GM Nick Caserio was starstruck when he found out that the dude asking him questions in the media gaggle one day was actually the freaking Cabonasian himself. True story.
Jim, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Forgot to mention fellow clone on that introduction, so I'm definitely a clone. So I appreciate having me back and really excited.
Without me having to go there, I do appreciate you acknowledging your jungle roots, Nick.
Can't forget him, Jim. I go way back with the jungle. I have a jungle-related story and a Smack-Off-related story in the same vein. So, you know, I was a big Smack-Off listener. Haven't listened to Smack-Off here in a little bit. But last week when we had Lovey's introductory press conference, we had an opportunity with our local media, unbeknownst to me, and I had plenty of interactions with Sean Pendergast, but I didn't realize he was the Cabonasian until he mentioned that he was the Cabonasian. So, we had a big chuckle over that when he mentioned to me that he's Sean the Cabonasian. I said, man, you were a pretty good caller at the Rome show. And then we proceeded to talk about Jeff in Richmond, his 18 3/4-inch pipes and his luxury sled. So we go way back, Jim. There's no question.
Freaking Nick Caserio with the jungle roots. Incredible. Shawnee had the first dynasty. The latest dynasty belongs to the BIC. Brad in Corona, a.k.a. the The man with 6 straps, more than any other caller. He's won 3 of the last 5. He is flat out the single most dangerous man who has ever picked up a phone and dialed into this program.
Final side note, Rome, and this is true. Lef was never in that helicopter in 2015, Jim. He took a picture in it, stepped out of it like a coward, and delivered that crappy 4th-place phone call from the runway while he sent Randall and the OC up in the chopper like a Smack-Off stunt penis buzzing your studio. God rest Randall's soul, by the way. Anyway, we knew Lef was a gimmicky little bitch, but now we know he's also a lying gimmicky little bitch, and that's the worst kind of bitch, really. Also, kind of convenient that Lef, Randall, and Rich Flores were the only people who knew about this. And Randall, well, Jim, let's just say Randall's watching the Smack Off today with Trapper and Rick's dad. And Jim, two out of the three of those dudes were likely killed by Leffen Laguna and Rich Flores. You can hear all about it on my new podcast, Clone Killers, my quest to prove Rich Flores and Leffen Laguna killed Randall in the OC and Trapper in Dana Point, allegedly. Out.
Holy crap, Brad. That's not him punching down either. That's him punching at a multiple winner and his biggest rival. That's the standard. If you want to compete on the big day, this is who you have to compete with. Basically, what I'm saying is this. If you want a strap, you're going to have to come in here and rip it out of Brad's cold, dead hands. But it's possible. Caleb in Green Bay proved that last year when he became a first-time King of Smack on the strength of this call.
Jim, it was funny. On Tuesday, you tweeted about the Smack-Off asking for predictions, and old Shawnee Pendergast responded with a single word, pain, which is impressive to me that 3 days out, he can pinpoint the exact second that his sciatica is going to flare up. Romy, I'm probably going to be the only caller today who actually defends Deshaun Watson, but just hear me out, okay? Who among us doesn't love a day at the spa? You know, you get some bath jellies, some scented candles, essential oils, maybe throw on some Enya. That stuff isn't just for chicks and DeMarc in Hollywood anymore, dude. Who doesn't love a Swedish massage? Although Deshaun apparently prefers the Finnish massage, you know, like from the country Finland. Did everybody get it? Who's going to get it? Okay, let's move on.
That's your defending champ. That's your brief walk down Smack Off memory lane. From here on in, we will mostly zero in on individual callers. Then you can decide whose year you think it is. If you want your prediction aired on CBS Sports Network, just film it. Make it around 20 seconds. Keep it clean. No sex, no booze, no porn, no drug, no violence, none of that. Film it horizontally. Send it to smackoffpicks@gmail.com. That's smackoffpicks@gmail.com, and we will get it aired on TV. That's the easiest way for you to participate. We're in it. We're in it. It feels awesome. Get up in here. Get qualified. You cannot win it unless you're in it, and you have to be invited to get in. Hour number three coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686.